You said, what are the odds that Joe Biden has a debilitating event between now and November, including death? So he runs a 1 in 20 chance of dying in any given year or above, that I don't think you know whether he's even going to make it to November. Debilitating event could have been a debilitating public event.
I purposely left it vague, and I didn't say the other part of it, which I now feel comfortable saying, which is, I don't know whether Donald Trump will be allowed to become president.
What do you mean by that?
I think that there's a remarkable story, and we're in a funny game, which is, are we allowed to say what that story is? Because to say it, to analyze it, to name it, is to bring it into view. I think we don't understand why the censorship is behaving the way it is. We don't understand why it's in the shadows. We don't understand why our news is acting in a bizarre fashion. So let's just set the stage, given that that was in February. There is something that I think Mike Benz has just referred to as the rules-based international order. It's an interlocking series of agreements, tacit understandings, explicit understandings, clandestine understandings about how the most important structures keep the world free of war and keep markets open. And there has been a system in place, whether understood explicitly or behind the scenes or implicitly, that says that the purpose of the two American parties is to prune the field of populist candidates so that whatever two candidates exist in a face-off are both acceptable to that world order. So what you're trying to do from the point of view, let's take it from the point of view of, let's say, the State Department, the intelligence community, the Defense Department, and major corporations that have to do with international issues, from arms trade to, food. They have a series of agreements that are fragile and could be overturned if a president entered the Oval Office who didn't agree with them, and the mood of the country was, why do we pay taxes into these structures? Why are we hamstrung? Why aren't we a free people? So what the two parties would do is that they would run primaries. You'd have populist candidates, and you'd pre-commit the populist candidates to support the candidates who won the primaries. As long as that took place and you had two candidates that were both acceptable to the international order, that is, that they aren't going to rethink NAFTA or NATO or what have you, we called that democracy. And so democracy was the illusion of choice, what's called magician's choice, where the choice is not actually, you know, pick a card, any card, but somehow the magician makes sure that the card that you pick is the one that he knows. In that situation, you have magician's choice in the primaries, and then you'd have the duopoly field, two candidates, either of which was acceptable, and you could actually afford to hold an election. And the populace would vote, and that way the international order wasn't put at risk every 4 years, because you can't have alliances that are subject to the whim of the people in plebiscites. So under that structure, everything was going fine until 2016, and then the first candidate ever to not hold any position in the military nor position in government in the history of the Republic to enter the Oval Office, Donald Trump, broke through the primary structure. So then there was a full court press. Okay, we only have one candidate that's acceptable to the international order. Donald Trump will be under constant pressure that he's a loser, he's a wild man, he's an idiot, and he's under the control of the Russians. And then he was going to be a 20-1 underdog. And then he wins. And there was no precedent for this. They learned their lesson. You cannot afford to have candidates who are not acceptable to the international order and continue to have these alliances. This is an unsolved problem.
And actually, the problem was solved by the framers of the Constitution, who said the Senate has to be the one to actually make alliances, not the executive. But that, like so much else, has gone by the wayside. Stay with us, folks. We'll be joined by Tara Rodas on the other side.
At InfoWarsMD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric Oxide, Probiotics, Joint Relief Max, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Collagen, Superfood Greens, Turmeric, Ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Max Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWarsMD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined this hour by Tara Rodas. She is a federal whistleblower exposing government-sponsored, taxpayer-funded child trafficking in HHS's unaccompanied children program. You can follow her on X at Tara Lee Rodas. That's R-O-D-A-S at Tara Lee Rodas. Tara, thank you so much for joining us today.
Harrison, thank you so much for having me on the show to talk about what we now know is government-sponsored, taxpayer-funded child trafficking. I appreciate that you've continued to shine a bright spotlight on this problem. So thank you so much. It's an honor to be here with you.
Well, I wish you were here under better circumstances. I feel like I'm going insane reading these headlines every day. I mean, the fact that it's now admitted by official sources, 325,000 children have gone missing from government custody, just given away, never heard from again. And that this isn't the biggest story every single day until something is, you know, done about this, that this can just be one of many headlines. I mean, it is madness what we're dealing with right now. And even just thinking back to like 2016 and just what the atmosphere was like back when Trump was first running and bringing up the illegal immigrants as a major issue, and it, you know, largely wasn't discussed. You know, fast forward 8 years and suddenly, I mean, I'm at a loss for words, Tara. How did we even get to this point? 325,000 children gone out of government custody.
Yeah, and that's what they admit to, Harrison. And I think this is the crisis that people need to understand. More than 700,000 children have crossed the border as part of this program. They know trafficking has been going on in the program from children who were brought over in 2013 and 2014. So if people watched the expose, Trafficked in America, I mean, this highlighted the indictment of traffickers from Guatemala who were luring these children from Guatemala, you know, with these hopes and dreams of the American life, and that they were going to support their families and send money back home. And what they found, I mean, people can see the conditions these children were in all the way back in 2016. They knew. So that's the astonishing thing. And then other whistleblowers like Jason Piccolo, who used to be part of DHS, came forward in 2015. Aaron Stevenson, DHS whistleblower, came forth in 2021. Me, Deb, Myra, we were blowing the whistle in June of 2021 about trafficking in the program. They could have stopped this at any time when these numbers were smaller. They could have stopped when Hannah Dreier of the New York Times said there's 85,000 missing children. They did not. And so now we have more than 320. That's what they admit to. Everybody says it's more than that. And the question is, how can this possibly happen? How can this happen? And this happens because there's no oversight of the program. HHS, there should be no missing children because HHS has the ID, whether that's the Guatemalan consular ID, their DUI from El Salvador, wherever the sponsor is from, right? Most sponsors have no legal presence, but they did have to provide some form of a photo. And they have their last known address. The question is, if they have that information, why aren't they doing anything? There technically shouldn't be missing children, but they will not give the data to the states. So my attorney general in the state of Virginia, Jason Meares, has been pleading. He's done press conferences. I was at one with him where he said, look, HHS, you're the federal government. You're putting children in my state. You're giving them to criminal sponsors, but you're not telling me who the sponsor is or who the child is, where the child is living. They're not giving that information. So the federal government is secretly giving the state's children to people the states know nothing about, and then washing their hands, because once they turn the children over to the sponsor, they have no legal obligation to follow up with them again. And if you can imagine, the sponsor has no legal obligation to report to ORR, which is the Office of Refugee Resettlement that runs the program. How are you not going to have fraud when you're turning over kids to people who have no obligation to say where they are, if they put them in school, or if they took them to their court date, which is their main responsibility? And now that DHS report also says that thousands and thousands of children have not appeared for court. And that's the last opportunity that we could check on them. And they're not even taking them. And that's on purpose. And the terrible truth is that the sponsor gets the order of deportation of the child when the child doesn't appear at court. It's called an order of deportation in absentia because they didn't show up. And that actually is the goal of the trafficker, that he gets that order of deportation. He can then hold that order of deportation up to the child and say, you are going to do what I say, when I say, or I'm going to call ICE on you myself. And the children are saying that's what their traffickers are saying, that that's what their captors are telling them. You don't do what I say, I'm going to call ICE. This is a terrible truth, Harrison. And again, I wish we were not having this conversation. I think if more people understood how the program worked, I think more people would be reporting on it. They just haven't. Most reporters are not taking the time to figure out, like, how does the system work? But the government's not trying to help people find out how the system works either. So I think people will be up in arms. This should be frontline news on every news channel. There are missing children, and we need to find them. They're in crisis, and they need help.
And it's being done with the not just facilitation, but like actual cooperation of the federal government. And if people want to know more about, you know, how exactly this is carried out, they should watch our previous conversation talking about, you know, where these kids go. And then, you know, inspectors are gone to check up on the kids. And it's just like an empty house, you know, totally burnt out, like non, you know, a strip mall somewhere. It is crazy how this happens. And, you know, even as just you were talking, the number of things that we've revealed in the past that we've covered on this show, the fact that they used to do DNA tests at the border under Trump, they would DNA test the kids with who was supposed to be their parent. And something like a third of the kids were found to not be related to the person that they were saying they were related to. We had other whistleblowers who were exposing the fact that the people taking custody of the kids had no ID whatsoever. There's no way to verify they were who they said they were. And we know this because officially they said, oh, you can actually use the orders given, you know, with the children. That can be your ID. So you've got people, you know, getting on planes and going, I am who I say I am, because here's an order saying, give this kid to Eduardo and I'm Eduardo. It's like, so clearly they don't have any ID. So there's no way of knowing who these people are that they're giving kids to. So just break this down for us real quick, and we'll get to the Muckraker investigation on this in a second. But because the mainstream media is not investigating this, the government is involved in this cover up, so they're not telling us the truth. So thankfully, we have, you know, independent people out there reporting on this and doing the research and going on the ground and getting this information. But just for you who are just baffled by this, a kid comes in, they get processed by immigration. How do they determine who to give the person to? Like, where is the list of sponsors available for kids to be sent to? How is that list developed, and how are these sponsors identified who are then, you know, given these children?
Okay, so Harrison, you've asked the million-dollar question. And this is the shocking answer. The child determines the sponsor. You have probably seen children at the border. When our fine Border Patrol agents pick them up, they've got a little piece of paper with a phone number on it. They've got a Sharpie phone number written on their arm. They've got pinned to their clothes a name and address. And that is the sponsor. The sponsor is determined at the border by the information the child provides. People should be like, what? How is that happening? Well, they're getting that information on those little pieces of paper from their smugglers and their coyotes. That's how they're determining the sponsor. It's actually mind-boggling. So the child turns over that sponsor, that piece of paper. Remember, some of these children are so small they can't talk.
Oh my God.
Carlos Arellano, who's been on your show, who was part of this new expose, he has delivered children as young as 3 months old. 3 months. Why is the federal government, with tax dollars, billions annually, this last year it was over $6 billion, this year on track to be $7 billion to bring these kids in through DHS, take down their U.S. point of contact from the piece of paper the child provides, hand those transport, right? Hand them over to HHS, Department of Health and Human Services, Office of Refugee Resettlement, Unaccompanied Children Program. That's where me, Deb White, Myra Moreno were sitting on the Pomona Fairplex, all whistleblowers sitting there. And we received that U.S. point of contact. And that's the sponsor. Pick up the phone. All the case managers are picking up the phone and they're calling that phone number and saying, hey, are you expecting a child? And then the goal of HHS is to reunite that child with that sponsor as quickly as possible. 10 to 14 days. Move that kid 10 to 14 days to a sponsor that case manager has never seen face-to-face, hasn't seen on a video call, except in small cases, and then shipped to a house they've never seen. And that's it. So, and we pay the flight to the sponsor.
Right. So it's all totally siloed, right? So the people that are assigning the kids have never met the sponsor, but the people that are delivering the kids aren't even that person. So the person delivering the kids is like a Border Patrol agent. And we've seen whistleblowers from Border Patrol going, I get on a plane in the middle of the night with 100 kids, you know, get off the plane, and describing the fact that the kids don't recognize the person that they're being given over to. It's not like it's not a big family reunion with them going, oh, my nephew, and them, oh, Uncle James, and like hugging. No, it's like, you know, a scared looking kid and some dude like not even looking at the kid, just being like, you know, give me the kid and just you this way and just walking off with them. I mean, insane. It is completely insane. I don't even know what more to say about it other than the fact that this continues. I mean, it's a condemnation of our entire system. And just as you laid out, this isn't an accident. This isn't, you know, them doing their best and just things falling through the cracks. I mean, am I wrong? This is deliberate. This is human trafficking on a massive scale being carried out by the American government in cooperation with the cartels to the tune of hundreds of thousands of children who have never been seen again. This is deliberate. This is a criminal enterprise taking place with our tax dollars.
The one thing I can say is that if they wanted to stop it, they could.
Right.
And they haven't for more than a decade. So that begs the question, why not? If right now the attorney general, multiple attorney generals have sent letters saying, please give me the sponsor information just for my state. Don't even give me direct access to your system. Just please give me a data. Just give me some information. Where did you send these children? Who did you give them to? What was their last known address? We'll find them. We'll find them. Just give us the information, and they won't. So why is the federal government withholding critical data that would save children? Why? You cannot give me a reasonable answer to that. why is it that Senator Grassley is having to do like criminal referrals to the FBI and Homeland Security investigations, but then HHS isn't giving them information either? Why? Why is that? Why does nobody have access to their data? That doesn't make sense. Children are gone. HHS has the last known location of the child. Why are they not turning over the data? This absolutely could be stopped today. They could absolutely begin rescuing children and prosecuting the criminals who are keeping these children captive. Absolutely, it could be done. So why is it not being done, Harrison? That is a serious indictment of this administration and their failed policies of this program and their complete disregard for the safety and well-being of children, many of whom we know have died here. Even right. Hannah Dreyer of the New York Times has crisscrossed the country saying children are alone and exploited and no longer alive because of the dangerous jobs that they are working in by unspeakable, unscrupulously horrible people here in the United States. Yeah.
No, it's crazy. And, you know, I would hesitate to even call it, I get what you're saying, but like to say failed policy, again, sort of insinuates that like this is a failure. No, this is it working exactly as intended as far as I can tell. I mean, it's not a failed policy. This is their policy. This is the desired outcome. I can't imagine any other situation. Otherwise, they would be doing something to correct this.
So that's true. If the goal is to profit off of the lives of children, which is exactly what's happening, then policies are working as intended because everybody profits off of the lives of the children. See, the smugglers and the coyotes who are bringing the children to the border, they profit per child. They're making $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $12,000 per child. The children were saying that, right? They're in debt bondage. They have a debt to pay once they get here because right. The smuggler's saying, hey, you know, once you get to the United States, instead of making $2.50 a day, living a happy life with your family, if you leave your family behind, you're going to make $6 an hour. They're running radio ads in Guatemala for the kids to come. So they leave their families. So Harrison, this is a family separation policy. All the people talking about, oh, family separation. Really, you've separated more children from their parents because the children told us this. This is what the kids are saying. They left their family at home and their family let them leave because they thought they were going to be Elon Musk rich here. So the smugglers, they're making their money. The second they hit the border, contractors and NGOs are making billions of dollars annually. They're profiting off of the lives of kids. And Harrison, if any of your viewers saw that DOJ in June put out an indictment against Southwest Key Program for raping children. This is one of the major NGOs who is supposedly taking care of the children for raping children as young as 5. So this must end. This must stop. And somehow the Department of Health and Human Services has to be held accountable for losing children, and they need to be forced to turn the data over to some responsible party because they've proved for a decade they're incapable of keeping children safe.
And they're actually profiting billions of dollars in this process. So they're not giving over the information. Of course, the mainstream media, I haven't even seen them report on this. I mean, because Donald Trump brought it up, and thank God he did, they had to at least mention it. They had to at least address it in some way to say, well, this is, don't worry, we've got it all under control. But they're clearly not doing the investigation. Luckily, there are some independent reporters out there breaking this story, InfoWars included. Muckraker is doing this at Real Muckraker on X. They say they've obtained firsthand testimonies from trafficked children in Florida, federal government placing alien children in trafficking rings. Muckraker has just concluded a months-long investigation into the unaccompanied children program of HHS. We have now obtained firsthand testimony from children who were delivered to trafficking rings in Florida. According to insiders, the Department of Health and Human Services has known about this trafficking case for 3 years, but did nothing to find the trafficked children. According to the children we found, they were encouraged to come to the United States after hearing radio advertisements in Guatemala promoting the journey. Upon reaching the United States, the sponsor who received them held debt over their head and has been extorting them for years. The same sponsor is linked directly and indirectly to many more children who have been smuggled into the United States. This took place in Florida, this particular expose, and we can play clips from that, but we know every action of the Joe Biden administration has been to facilitate this. They have done nothing to, you know, mitigate this process whatsoever. They've said we're ending family separation. So, you know, if you come with the kid, you'll get to stay with them. We aren't going to do DNA testing anymore. So if it ain't your kid, but you say it is, we're just going to believe you. They basically advertised, if you have a kid with you, that's your golden ticket across. You come as an individual, it's going to be a little bit more difficult. But if you come with a kid in your arms, we'll take your word for it. We'll assume that kid belongs to you, and that will be a free pass into the United States, further into the country, a wad of cash and a hotel room to stay in. They're doing this again. I don't have the words to express. If you don't get this, if Americans don't understand what's going on here, I don't know if there's anything I can say to make them realize just how brutal this is. Is anything being done to stop this? I know the AG that you mentioned in Virginia is speaking out about this. AGs in Florida are begging for this information and cooperation from DHS. Is anybody in the federal government concerned that there's 320,000 children in trafficking rings right now, courtesy of the U.S. government? Is anything being done here?
Yes, yes. Well, Senator Grassley, along with other senators, Senator Castley, Senator Langford, you know, they have Senator Johnson. I mean, they held a roundtable. They have done criminal referrals. They are right now in the process of a rule change using the Congressional Review Act. So if people want to get involved, if they go to americasfuture.net, americasfuture.net, they can call. We have an interactive map. They can call their representatives and say, vote yay on the CRA, Save the Children. So they're in the process of doing things, but sadly, they're being stonewalled for information as well. So it's a really desperate situation for the children because HHS won't turn over the data. And so Harrison, you know, there's two ways children come across the border. They come across through the unaccompanied children program, and then they also come across, as you said, as fake family units. So there's two ways that children are being trafficked into our country, and we need to stop child trafficking at the border. Can it be done? Absolutely. Is this administration doing it? Under no circumstances. And one of our whistleblowers recently had a Univision reporter say, I can't report on this. Oh my gosh. If this got out, the administration would, that they'd be done. Kamala couldn't be elected. She couldn't get elected if this information got out. So people don't want the information to get out. So I encourage people to put their notification bell on for Muckraker, because he's going to be dropping some fire. So
we'll come back and look at some of the Muckraker video. And I'd love if you could stay with us for a little bit longer. It's Tara wrote us at Tara Lee wrote us on X. Stay with us.
COVID vax causes more heart damage than COVID virus and brain, blood, immune cancer, reproductive study. I mean, there's so many of these studies. What do you make of that?
This finally settled the question, Alex. The COVID vaccine causes myocarditis in young people, not the infection. It's a government false narrative. It's been propagated through the American College of Cardiology and other agencies that the infection causes myocarditis. It doesn't.
Looking at this, then, we see these headlines constantly. When you follow the article, there's no link, there's no proof. It just says COVID's a greater risk of heart problems than the shot, and then they just lie.
It's essentially a giant medical lie perpetrated by the American College of Cardiology, the CDC, the NIH, This is a false narrative. No confirmed cases by adjudication or autopsy. Right. No hospitalizations and deaths. But the vaccine, I'm a cardiologist, Alex. I am knee deep in people with vaccine myocarditis causing heart failure. The vaccines do cause heart arrhythmias in some. It's inflammation in the heart, atrial fibrillation, sometimes ventricular arrhythmias.
COVID shots can enlarge and weaken the heart. Another study.
Heart failure can be an outcome of subclinical myocarditis. It's very important for people to realize they may not feel chest pain initially, but then they have the onset of effort intolerance, a pulmonary edema, congestion, and leg swelling. I have cases from Austin, Alex, referred up to my office. It's vaccine myocarditis and heart failure. They need treatment for this. The go-to is McCullough Protocol based spike protein detoxification with supplements available through onlinehealthnow.com.
Onlinehealthnow.com.
We have ample data now suggesting every cancer is increasing worldwide in virtually every organ system, and it's related to COVID-19 vaccines.
Now, I'm glad, Dr. McCullough, that you brought up how to detox, either whether you got COVID in the wild, which you know is a lot less from the studies, bad as taking the shots. But if you want to detox from it, you're one of the top research doctors out there, one of the, if not the most published. You have actually developed something, come up with something available at onlinehealthnow.com that you're saying is the go-to here. Spend a few minutes telling us about that anti-spike protein protocol.
It's the base of what we do now in long COVID and vaccine injury syndromes. It's caused because of accumulation of the spike protein from the infection, and in a massive doses from the vaccine, it gets stuck in the human body. We need to assist the body in clearing the spike protein. We have several years of observation, multiple peer-reviewed publications on this, very good support for doing this. It's nattokinase, which is a natural enzyme derived from the fermentation of soy. Japanese discovered it. Bromelain, a family of enzymes derived from the stems of pineapple. And then lastly, curcumin derived from turmeric and Indian spice. These are all in capsule format. We give them in combination in between meals, and we're using accelerating doses. People are doing this across the world right now, Alex.
So you build up.
And we build up. Now listen, the initial starting doses were 2,000 units twice a day of natto. We're now going to 4,000 twice a day. We do give them in addition to blood thinners, and we have found sometimes it's the only way to dissolve the blood clots. When people get large vaccine blood clots, the blood thinners just hold it steady. They don't dissolve them. We actually have to give thrombolytic enzymes. That's McCullough Protocol-based spike protein detoxification.
And people can find out all the details of that at onlinehealthnow.com.
That's the go-to place. The wellness company provides, really the leading quality in the leading formulation. So the spike formulation has not only nattokinase, but five minor ingredients. We combine that with the curcumin and the bromelain for what we think is the ultimate spike detox trio. Onlinehealthnow.com.
This is the American Journal. We're covering perhaps the most disturbing story happening right now in America. And we're going to show you some video from Muckraker in just a second. My guest is Tara Rodas. You can follow her on X at Tara Lee Rodas. And that's TaraLeeRodas on X. And you can follow her where she saw and blew the whistle on the way that unaccompanied minors were being given away to strangers and lost through the HHS in a very deliberate way. She saw that from within HHS itself and blew the whistle on it. But of course, nothing officially is being done to, stop this at all. And I want to go to this video from Muckraker and then get your comments on the other side, Tara. Muckraker is not released yet. The firsthand testimony that they received of trafficked children in Florida, we're awaiting that drop. They announced that on the 1st of September, and we'll be dropping that soon. But in the meantime, they got some interviews with young kids in Times Square. This is a truly heartbreaking video. We'll go to it now, and I'll read the translations for you for our radio listeners who can't see the subtitles. But here's the video that Muckraker just dropped of young kids being forced to work all night in Times Square. Let's watch. Every day, thousands of illegal alien children work the streets of New York City. We spoke to a couple of the children and heard their stories. This is what we were told.
¿Y de qué país?
What country are you from?
De Colombia. ¿Y cuántos años tienes tú?
Are you?
¿Y cuántos meses en Estados Unidos?
Un mes.
I've been here about a month. I came here to work, right?
Yes,
of course. To study, to build the future.
Porque es que allá
goes back in Colombia. It was a very bad situation that happened.
Malo que pasó con mi papá y mi
my mom and dad. Can you repeat the ages of kids out here? 8, 11, 14. Working out here? Yep. There's been robberies, so we have to be careful. One day, a lady got robbed, and they took her kid. Never, they took the kid? Uh-huh.
Where?
They took him. They took him in a van. Just one kid. Be very careful, okay? Don't let that happen. They took the kid in a van. Do you know how old he was?
No,
I just saw them take him. And his mom was screaming.
¿Cuántos años?
So the kid, how old are you? 10 years. 10 years. What country are you from? Ecuador. Did you come from a shelter with your family? I came from a shelter with my mom and dad. What's going on here in Times Square in New York? What are you doing? Selling water. How much do you make in a day? 40, 30 bucks. How many days a week do you work? Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
3 days a week.
And Monday. 4 days. How many hours a day? I come in at 4 p.m. and finish at 2 a.m.
Okay,
you went through the Darien jungle, right? Yes, I went through the Darien jungle.
And in la selva,
did you see dead
cadavers?
Bodies in the jungle?
Yes.
Yes. How many?
No sé, pero
I don't know. There were a lot of dead bodies. A lot of them, in the tents, in the trees, all that. Dead bodies and corpses. Did you see children being taken away in the jungle? Yes.
Can you tell us a story?
Some drowned. Children? Yeah. What happened to the other children? I saw other children drowning. Some of them disappeared. They got lost in the jungle, all that. Are there children without parents out here? Yes, no moms, no dads sometimes, all that. Children living on the street? Yes. Where? They pass here and all that stuff. Homeless children?
See?
Yes. Some children live in hotels, some children live on the streets.
We
know who they are. Can you tell us where we can see them? I really don't know. They just pass by begging, that's all. You want to go back to Ecuador? Or do you want to go back to Ecuador? Yes. Why? It's just that here, for me it's very ugly, everything's very expensive. They let us sell, the cops throw us out. We want a stable place to sell, that they don't bother us, that's all. So that again from Muckraker on X. How do you feel when you watch that, Tara? I mean, what jumps to your mind when you see these kids out there selling water in Times Square till 2 in the morning every weekend, having I guess, just walked amongst a trail of corpses on their way to the United States? I mean, what jumps to your mind first?
Well, it's just heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking that the administration is saying that what's compassionate and what's humanitarian is to bring these children here. It's a lie. It is a lie. That little boy, 10 years old, said, I'd rather be in Ecuador. I'd rather be at home. I want a stable life. I don't want to be selling things in the street. It's very ugly here. You know, kids are witnessing crime happen right in front of them. They witness a kidnapping. I mean, really? I think people need to check their cultural biases. If they're saying they believe this is better for the children, this is just heartbreaking. And one of the whistleblowers and I, because we both live in the same state, we went to see City of Dreams yesterday. This people, if they have not seen the movie City of Dreams, what you just witnessed with these children here, I think is enough for people to say, we need to stop this. And if children want to go home, we need to let them go home. We need to give them the life that they want. But City of Dreams gives you a glimpse into what happens when these children are put under the care of evil overlords. And this is the true story of a boy who escaped working in the garment district in California. And we know that children are going to criminals and traffickers and members of transnational criminal organizations, to include gangs and cartels like MS-13 and 18th Street Gang. That's facts. That's data. That's truth. Senator Grassley, if people did not see on July 11, he dropped documents proving our allegations. He dropped a do not release that I put out for two teens, young teens, who were going to an MS-13 affiliated sponsor in Ohio. And you know what? They sent them anyway. They sent them anyway. So if people believe, after watching that story, right, those testimony of the kids from their own mouths, being in the streets of New York is ugly, they'd rather be at home. If they go watch City of Dream, see what's really happening to these children. This is not the American dream. This is modern day slavery here in the United States. Children are slaves. And what you're seeing here was the best situation for these children. People have no idea the evil, wicked things that people do to small children. So it's a heartbreaking, Harrison. It's just heartbreaking.
No, yeah. We just watched a video, you know, interview with two slaves, like two kids that are, you know, forced whether they like it or not. And it's almost like, I don't know, there's something so disturbing about sort of the casualness with which, like, one kid reports another kid being kidnapped. Like, yeah, his mom was screaming and they put him in a van. Yeah, it's just like a normal van over there. I mean, it's like, It hits different coming from the mouths of these kids. You can tell the kids are smart. They look like great little kids, but they're just like casually describing the most horrific things you can imagine. Oh, yeah, I saw a dead body. Yeah, lots of dead bodies. Yeah, corpses everywhere as I walked around. It's like the psychological damage that's being done. It like hasn't even hit them yet, almost. I mean, this is trauma on a mass scale being inflicted on these kids that are now, I guess, going to school with your kids. Like, I don't know, man. This is, I can't imagine my kid being 11 and trudging through a jungle full of corpses, but that's where these kids came from, and they just want to go home. It is beyond horrifying, and I'd love to finish up our conversation on the other side, folks. Stay with us. Tara Rodas is my guest, at Tara Lee Rodas. That video you just saw was from Muckraker. Share that from their ex, at Real Muckraker, and spread the word, folks. We have to get the word out there. People have to know this is going on.
I was literally digging around for the two or three satellite phones I had. I'd given one to family. I was making sure they were charged, getting them ready. I have an antenna so I can be inside and use it for outside. I'm literally checking all my gear, getting everything ready, because I've been so offensively fighting the globalists that I basically had all my defensive in disarray. And so for me, Alex Jones, 74 days out from the election, and that's 76 days of hell once, you know, he's president-elect, I'm now spending 10, 15, 20% of my time getting ready. And that should show people the urgency in my mind. So the satellite phone company is a great sponsor. Let's talk about some of the basics of what people need. There's some amazing new products they've got that you think are awesome. They've got the best satellite phones at the best prices with the best deals you're going to find. And the good news is, they're not a sponsor a lot of the time because they're sold out. They supply law enforcement, the military. I mean, they are the biggest company in the United States. You get the best deal because they buy the most. You see them sponsoring, you know, all the other big shows as well. You need to go to InfoWarsPhone.com. That way we get some of the support. InfoWarsPhone.com. Tell us about solar panels, solar charging systems, sat phones, and this other really cool secure encrypted phone. Tell us about these products.
Well, the thing about it, you have to just look at what's happening. When they have 50 plus senators on the left getting sat phones in case there's a crisis, you should worry about it. If I'm going to keep people from uprising, I'm going to kill comms. It's the first thing you do. That's how you control chaos. I mean, every one of my family members has the sat phone, right? I make sure that all the sat phones, every quarter, everyone's phone on my team and my family members, and then my emergency response vendors, every one of their sat phones has the numbers listed in the phone, right? So And then we do a drill. Every quarter we do a drill. Why? Because that allows me to remind myself to charge the phone. But this is part of my emergency response team, the security team. The guys are bringing the food and shelter in, the fuel, the power, everything, right? The other thing that I do is I also have sat radios. So for me and my team, especially when we're on the border or we're areas where it's off-grid, I'm making sure that I have my sat radios, right? Another great tool that I have is, of course, like, you know, simple, right? You got your power bank, and then you have your actual charging, your solar charging panels, right? For areas that you're out in the desert, because what good is it if you have all your battery backups, but they're all dead, you know? Then I also carry a baby stick, which is an SOS. You can drop it, send text messages with a backup phone. That works extremely well just for grid down, quick messaging. The other part of it, the security part of it, is I put the security team on these garments. These garments are also really, really good assets to have. And just for example, with Rescue the Republic, right? That's going to be September 29th in DC. You got RFK speaking, you got Tulsi Gabbard speaking, and you have the other big man speaking and a bunch of other people that that is all being announced as this stuff comes along. But all our security, the entire security team is using the secure phone. The secure phone is a Bitium phone, and it is secure messaging phone to phone. So if it ever were to get hacked, it scrubs all the messages from it. That phone completely shuts down. Everything clears off of it. It's water resistant. It prevents tracking, right? And this phone, to me, it's what NATO's using right now. So the commanders are using it. It's at the very, very top of it. It's something that I feel is going to be key, not just in the public sector, but in the private sector when it comes to family members.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Tara Rodas is my guest, helping to shed light on the crime that is the immigration system in America right now. And I had somebody on X just tag me and say, you know, please post this full interview because I have some liberal friends, some truth deniers that I could send this to. So I want to sort of take that angle here, Tara. There are people out there that are voting Democrat that are convinced beyond all reason that somehow this is Donald Trump's fault, that somehow what's happening here is just some sort of natural disaster that we just have to deal with. What would you say to liberals out there right now that don't think that immigration is a big deal? They think it's overblown. I mean, how do you get across to people what a gigantic criminal enterprise our government is engaged in right now? What do you say to the liberals, the lefties, the people out there that think they're on, you know, the right side of history? They think they're on the good side by supporting endless, you know, totally just ridiculous immigration into the United States. What do you say to people?
Well, Harrison, I just say, have them take a look at me. I volunteered, right? I left my agency. People may know at the beginning of 2021, the Biden-Harris administration made an all call to all federal employees. And so today I'm not speaking on behalf of the federal government or my agency. But I raised my hand and I said, here I am, send me. What could be the most important thing than to help these children at the border? So the Biden-Harris administration put out an all call and said, we have a crisis at the border. We need people to help place these children with sponsors in the United States. I believed I was going to do puzzles and play games. I thought it was going on the humanitarian dream, right? This is going to be the humanitarian opportunity of a lifetime. I did not know that they were trafficking children through a government program. I would not have volunteered. Again, I thought I was going to place children in loving homes. And what we discovered is that children are being trafficked through a sophisticated network. This begins when they're recruited in their home country. They're being told a lie. That's what trafficking is. It's force, fraud, or coercion. You know, the children are, they're living a beautiful life in their home country with their families. Watch Trafficked in America. You can see, I mean, they had land, you know, they were working sugar cane. Okay, maybe it's not Wall Street, but they were happy with their family. But they were told, instead of making your few dollars a day, you come to the United States. Now we're going to pay the debt that you're going to have to pay, but you got to live with me until you pay this debt off. So the children are in debt bondage and they know it. And they leave their families and their families let them go because they believe they're going to be Elon Musk rich. I believed we were sending children to their parents. I didn't know that we were separating children from their parents and sending them to MS-13. I think people just don't know. They need to see what the truth is. They need to just look at, well, what's been happening in this unaccompanied children program for a decade? Look at all the cases, all the children who've been trafficked, who've been killed. Just read the New York Times. Take a look. That will scare people. When they see the truth of the New York Times writing, children are alone and exploited. That's her headline, Hannah Dreier, alone and exploited. She shows the sheets of debt bondage that children have to pay. She chronicles children who've died, working jobs here, being pulled into machinery. I mean, what's happened to the children is inhumane, and people are profiting. That's just, I didn't know it was happening. So I imagine there's a lot of people like me who think this is a humanitarian effort. The children are living such a great life here. But Harrison, we just looked at two precious little kids who said they'd rather be back at home. So people really need to check their cultural biases. My husband is from El Salvador. I'm a Spanish speaker. It's one of the reasons why I volunteered for this mission. I've been to Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, and I thought I can be there to help the kids. I can play games and do puzzles until we can get them to their family. But Hannah Dreier reported, based on the HHS data, that in some zip codes, less than 10% of those children are going to their parents. So who are the 90% of the others? No, people need to wake up to what's really happening. There is the truth of the program, which is children have been trafficked through the unaccompanied children program for more than a decade with billions of taxpayer dollars. Everyone profits off of the lives of the children. Everybody's making money off of the children, except the children. They're not getting the American dream. We've not even talked about some of the most horrible things that happen. Children are calling a hotline. There is a hotline for these children, migrant children. It has increased in the last 5 years over 1,300%. Children calling a hotline, and they're saying, I'm being abused, I'm being neglected, I'm being trafficked. Children are being sold for sex today. Children are working overnight shifts at slaughterhouses, middle schoolers today, as a result of these failed policies. This is failed policies. This is a total failure of leadership. Right now, HHS has lost complete control of this program. As a result, children are dying here. Somebody needs to be held accountable.
And of course, absolutely everything the Biden administration has done has been to facilitate this, as we enumerated earlier, the ending of the DNA test, the telling people that basically if you bring a kid, it's a ticket into the United States. I mean, they are doing this deliberately. They're facilitating this. And it is unspeakable the things these kids are experiencing. And even just hearing those kids, again, talk about this stuff, and they do it in almost a casual way. But like, you know, it's having an effect. You know, if you're an 11-year-old kid and you've seen multiple children die or disappear or be kidnapped, like that's a threat hanging over you at any point when you're sitting there going, hey, the people I'm with can make kids disappear, so I better listen to them. I've seen, kids my age be killed. I could be killed too. I mean, the psychological terror that keeps these kids in line is inexplicable. Impossible to even comprehend, I think. I don't even think they comprehend it fully. And just some of the headlines from just this weekend, right? Muckraker, young kids working full-time in Times Square. That was the video we just saw. They've obtained firsthand testimony from trafficked children in Florida, showing the federal government placing alien children with trafficking rings. That video we expect to drop later this week. Mexico now is offering escorted rides for migrants with U.S. asylum appointments. So Mexico will now be offering military escorts for non-Mexican migrants to get to America from southern Mexico to northern Mexico. A nasty surprise, all-male migrant center to open up just feet away from school, stunning locals, this in New York City, where they say, you know, New York parents are sending their kids back to school, finding an unpleasant surprise that an all-male migrant center is opened in April just feet away from City Life Academy, a private Christian school for kids grades K through 12. Migrants flooding New York City justice system, making up 75% of arrests in Midtown, as pathetic sanctuary city law handcuffs cops. And then what's going on in Aurora and now Chicago taking over apartment buildings. I mean, this is a full-on invasion. The children are you know, suffering the consequences. And anybody who thinks that voting Democrat is somehow helping to, you know, bring solace or comfort to these kids is living in delusion. They are the reason that this is going on. Final words, Tara, what is your call to action for people? What can people do as they hear this and feel powerless to stop it? What can they do to fight back? And how else can they follow you and keep up to date on the revelations that are coming out so rapidly now?
Yeah, I would tell people to follow americasfuture.net. americasfuture.net, get involved, find out how you can actually help save the children. If you're going to be in Colorado, or if you're listening from Colorado, on the 20th of this month, I'm going to be in Colorado with Jason Jones, Doc Pete Chambers, Lara Logan, Baz and Tina Boz, who run the Association for the Recovery of Children, Mary Flynn. We are going to be there helping train people on how they can identify trafficking and turn trafficking over to their local law enforcement. We want people to know that this is real. This is really happening. We also, on americasfuture.net, is the call to action to vote yay on the CRA so we can stop this shameful, shameful practice of government-sponsored, taxpayer-funded child trafficking. We want people to get involved. And Harrison, thank you so much for being a voice for these children and
thank
a voice
you,
for this
thank
critical
so
time.
So they always tell you it's the most important election of your lifetime, but of course, this one actually is. That's demonstrable. And it's also, because it is so important, being censored at every level by the tech companies. So we were thinking about this a couple of months ago, and we thought, why not get on the road live in front of actual people, live audiences, coast to coast, a nationwide tour where we can't be censored? That'd be good. It would also be fun. So we're doing it. We're going to be on stage with some of our friends, some of the most fascinating people we know, the most recognizable people we know, responding to what is happening in America this September in real time. It'll be just like the podcast, but it's going to be live. So we're excited to announce that our friend Larry Elder is coming to join us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Our friend John Rich will be there with us in Sunrise, Florida. We're adding more stops. We just added another stadium show in Reading, Pennsylvania. We'll be joined on stage by Alex Jones. They tell you what Alex Jones is like. Have you seen him in person? You should. Make up your own mind. It's going to be fun as hell and interesting and intense, and we hope you will join us. Go to TuckerCarlson.com right now to get your tickets. See you there.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/show.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. Period.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming. At Real Alex Jones on X.